COPS, Central Organization of Police Specialists. Fighting crime in a future time. Protecting Empire City from Big Boss and his gang of crooks.
Hello and welcome to SMPD, the podcast where we look back at the shows that shaped our childhood. I'm Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my partner in podcasting, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode, a slightly delayed, apologies for that, listeners. I had a leaky roof, nothing I could do about it. I would have been recording in a fucking swimming pool. So a slightly delayed look back at the late 80s action show, Cops.
No, full disclosure on this one, I'm glad we had to delay by a fortnight because I watched the wrong fucking thing.
you were watching Bad Boys, What They're Gonna Do.
Absolutely. And when I was watching it, right, I was thinking, this isn't really a kid's show, like a family show. But I used to watch it with my grandmother on a Friday night. It was that. Then
on Sky,
Next Generation, then Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah,
so that was my Friday night for fucking years. And it's where I learned about like spousal abuse and gun crimes and all this wacky shit and the word motherfucker. So I was like, why are we watching this? But I thought, you know what? I'll go with it because we watch some weird shit on the show anyway. Why the fuck not? And it was only then when you sent me a link, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I realized I was in trouble. So it actually worked out quite well.
Yeah, so this show could have been very different. I used to watch the other Cops as well with my grandparents on a Friday night. It was always on Sky One. And it was the immediate, like, post-watershed show, wasn't it? It was like the Watershed kicked in when we still had the Watershed in the UK, and then it was Cops.
Yeah.
And then
it was Cops, then Next Generation, then what was Texas Ranger.
Yeah, so you kind of knew it was, the night was kind of coming to a close, you were kind of getting to bedtime, but you still had a couple of hours left, so Cops was always a good time. It's not really appropriate for SMPD, I don't think.
But... Oh, fuck no. I'd have been about seven watching that as well, so it was awesome.
Yeah, I was very young as well. I was definitely too young to be watching Cops, put it like that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's for sure.
Although, if the people are interested, they do have their own YouTube channel where there's just constant clips and even like up-to-date stuff as well. So it's really fun.
Well, I mean, now you just watch like one of the umpteen dash cam shows or whatever that's on. Which I'm quite sad and do just, quite regularly.
Just got a fucking pond to clean this Saturday night.
Yeah, I do watch some of those shows because they are easy watching, especially when you have a ton of listeners and you're knackered. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the Deke animated show from, like, I want to say late 80s. I haven't...
88.
88, there you go. So I've actually watched quite a bit of this. I haven't done any research, which, you know, is not a surprise for me. But as I said, listeners, leaking roof, right? So not a lot of time. So what time I have had, I've spent watching the show rather than like reading about the show and stuff like that. So I'm going from memory, which is, you know, all the way back when we started the show. I used to do that on the reg anyway. So I don't know why I feel the need to explain that. That's just like, yeah. I think long-time listeners will pretty much know as a given that, like, you do all the research and I just watch stuff and talk shit. So
yeah, not so much for this one. I've had a similarly busy couple of weeks. Not a leaking roof, but similarly busy. So yeah, this could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, look, from what I do know about it, there's not that much research to be done. This is... as stereotypical a late 80s action serial kids cartoon as you can find. This thing was created to sell toys, as simple as that. It was one of those.
It was based
shows
on a toy line.
Yeah, I had some of the toys. I remember having some of those. I couldn't tell you which ones they were, but I can very specifically remember the packaging and stuff. And actually, I remember, like, I wouldn't say this was a big show for me. Like, it wasn't like I loved it, but I certainly remember me and my friend group at the time always watching Cops. I remember playing Cops once or twice. Like, this was a thing for us. So it wasn't like a huge show. This wasn't fucking Transformers or He-Man or anything.
Yeah.
But it was one we remembered. Having said that, I remembered very little about the show itself. I remembered...
Kind
of remembered the theme tune. I remembered the logo more than anything. Like, I can see the logo as soon as, like, we picked it off the list.
I can see the logo on, like, toy packaging, actually.
Yeah, totally.
So you had, like, the action figures in the plastic case with the cardboard back behind it and sort of where no, the cardboard extends beyond the plastics, they can hang it on the hook in the shop. And so I can remember seeing that, and I think that they used to pop up in the markets and shit as well, you know, because they weren't expensive compared to other toys that were around at the
time. No, they were crappy. Like they were
cheap as shit.
Yeah, they were crappy. But yeah, so I remember the logo and stuff. So it was quite interesting how much of it did actually start to come back when I started watching the show. And I always quite like that. You know, some of the shows that we remember really well sometimes turn out to be disappointing. Or sometimes they just, you remember them so well that it's just like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, you don't get anything out of rewatching it sometimes.
No, so this one was quite fun to rewatch. It's not good, let's be honest. It's not good.
I don't know, there were some bits I quite liked. I mean, it doesn't look great.
It looks like garbage. The animation.
I was trying to be nice.
Oh no! Since when?
It looks like dog shit.
We call a spade here. Like the animation is absolute garbage. I think I think some of the art direction is actually quite nice. I think visually it looks cool. Nice. It just doesn't move very nicely.
But yeah, like there were bits to it I thought were quite nice. I mean, I've watched the first five episodes.
Okay.
And they're fucking pun machines.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
And I love a pun. You know that. Mm. I've made no secret of that over the years. I love a good pun. So immediately in that first episode, I was like, right, okay, I know what I'm getting with this. It's as you said, a color by numbers, late 80s action show. Has a similar sort of feel as Mask.
It's very Mask. I got that from it as well. This is Mask with badges, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of Mask light.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of got that from it, and I thought, right, okay, well, yeah, puns are all right. Some of the dialogue's a bit shitty. Some of the villains are a bit... I don't want to say cartoony because it's a cartoon and that's kind of stated in the obvious, but they're almost caricature. Whereas they've done some nuanced work with... High Top in the very first episode, for no reason whatsoever. They gave him some character information. The villains are just fucking Rocksteady and Bebop. They're just, how stupid can you make them this week?
Yeah.
And that was disappointing. But some of the work they did, so that very first episode, Big Boss, because why give him a fucking name? Big Boss tries to, he wants to hijack his Zeppelin to hold up all the rich people on the party. I'm fairly sure Christopher Nolan ripped that off quite a while later in The Dark Knight. But yeah, so we have that, and then for some reason they've decided that High Top's going to go, but High Top's afraid of heights.
Hard Top.
No need to do that.
It's Hard Top. It's High.
Hard Top, sorry.
There is a High.
Yeah, no, you are right, yeah. Yeah, I keep thinking, want to call him Hightower, like in Police Academy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, they are a collection of stereotypes. But yes, it's Hard Top. Yeah. Hard Top, long arm.
You've got long arm, Hard Top, BP, Highway Mace, highway, Barricade, Mainframe, Sundown Mirage,
Checkpoint,
Bullseye, Mainframe, and Rex.
Like, yeah. There is a full rundown if you watch, not in every time the credits appear, but there is a full rundown in a few episodes. At the end, normally they'll run through. I don't know how I'm gonna actually edit the closing theme onto this podcast, because it's just a rundown of all the code names of the cops, basically, lifted from the two-part pilot. They just dump it on the end. I had to jump in there, otherwise
we
were going to do it all show, and some dickhead is going to write in and tell us that we're pronouncing it wrong. So I'm like, right, let's nip that in the bud.
Yeah, no, it's quite, I kept on wanting to call him Hightower, like in Police Academy. High Tops are trainers.
Sense.
Total with high ankles. For no reason whatsoever, they make him afraid of heights. And the journalist, who he quite fancies, is also going to be on the Zeppelin. So he's gonna suck it up and get on the Zeppelin and not be afraid of heights, because she's there and he wants to impress her. And there's a whole story around him and the fact that he has to overcome his fear of heights to be able to do his job and get the others to do their job and get them onto it. All that sort of stuff. And I thought, if that's where they're going with this, if they're going to build these characters out... I mean, it's only 65 episodes. I mean, they got the syndication number, but if they're going to do that, fair play. I'll take a bit of interest in this. Never happened again.
No, it's
never fucking happened again. But that first episode, I was really quite pleased. I mean, I sat there, I was working from home, so I had it on the screen next to me, which I quite frequently do. And yeah, I was sitting there going, all right, fair enough. I can see where this is going. I quite like this. I think that apart from looking like dog shit and some of the performances being a little bit ropey, again, trying to be generous because some of them are all right, but some of them are shit. I can get on board with this. And then, yeah, they never fucking did it again, which was really disappointing.
No, so it's a victim of its time, I think. You know, we talked about this. I forget what show it was. It was Speed Racer. New Adventures of Speed Racer. We talked about this there as well. Where it's, you know, these shows were being churned out, right, in the late 80s. And particularly these kind of action shows for boys, in air quotes, to sell the action figures.
But they had a girl, just to make sure that if any girls were watching it, they had a girl character as well.
They did their best. But these things were kind of churned out. And I think all of them then, when you get people that genuinely care about what they're doing when they're making these shows, you just have to look for the little grains of light. Like you've caught some there. You know, when everyone involved puts their foot down and says, no, actually, we're going to make the best show possible, that's when you get your Batmans and your Gargoyles and everything. When you're like, no, fuck you, it's going to be good first and then it can sell toys later. But that takes huge investment and it takes the backing of a huge studio putting a lot of faith in their creative team. Now, interestingly, a lot of the people involved here would go on to work on Batman the Animated Series a few years later. I think that's actually quite evident in the art direction of this show. I don't know if you got that as well, but I could certainly see a lot of, like, it's not up to that caliber, but you could definitely
the color palette of, it's very similar.
Very similar.
A lot of the shading and stuff like that, it's a very similar style. It is quite noticeable. I mean,
the city itself is quite kind of art deco as well, even though it's like it's meant to be the year 2000 via the late 80s, but it's got like you've already mentioned, there are airships and you've got some, you know, skyscrapers with a lot of curvature on them, and the cars are quite boxy. It's got that kind of feel to it. And actually, you know, just to be clear, like at the start of the show I said it's not good and it isn't, but I really fucking like this. I'm not dumping on it. I'm just acknowledging the fact, like we did with Speed Racer, that I know it's not good. You're right, Mark. Some of the performances are god awful. I don't necessarily think that's entirely the fault of the voice cast. I think the dialogue certainly in places is awful. Some of the writing is pretty good, but the dialogue in places, in terms of story, and when I say the writing is not bad, but the dialogue is god awful in places. And I also think this is one of the few instances with an animated show where, and I'm going on a limb here because I haven't done any research, so I don't know if this was the case, but it certainly feels like everybody was in a booth recording these lines. And that would have been the standard at the time as well. Okay, we were nowhere near really doing a round table at this point. But it very much feels like these lines are being recorded take after take after take and then edited together. Because there's no consistency in the delivery of one beat to the next sometimes.
And not only that, there have been a couple of occasions where it's more with the crooks than the cops. But the deliveries don't match, so the pacing is wrong, and the volume is wrong, and things like that. It's just like I said. Then if they're in the same place, you could modulate it, and they've not done it. But also, the editor hasn't gone, hang on, that don't match.
Yeah, because
somebody needs to have gone, fuck me, this doesn't sound right.
And again, it's because it's a kid's show. It's a kid's cartoon from the 80s.
Yeah, and we're churning out 65 in.
And it was there to serve a purpose.
To play over 3 months.
Yeah, it was there to serve a purpose. It was a merchandise selling machine. So, look, nobody sets out to do a bad job. Everyone involved would have wanted to do the best job they possibly can. And I think to their credit, in places they do. Like you say, that first episode, I agree, is fucking excellent. I thought that was as good of an episode of anything as we've watched on this show.
Yeah.
And you know, I've hopped around a bit. I haven't watched them sequentially. I hopped around a bit to try and get a good cross-section. And it's inconsistent. Some are that good, again. Some are awful, and most of them just fall in the middle somewhere. It gets ridiculous at times. It gets quite grounded at times. Like, it's all over the shop, and I think I kind of love it for that as well. I kind of love how ridiculous, like, on the one hand, how it attempts to be quite grounded in that they, you know, these aren't superheroes or anything. They are a collection of police specialists. Like, yeah, okay, so BP's kind of enhanced because he's got his bulletproof body, and then we've got a robot dog and stuff because he's the year 2000. But nobody's like super strong, or nobody can read minds, or nobody can fly.
Yeah,
there's, you know, there's none of that. These are just
it's still the human element, isn't that? And that's, you know, that's what's missing a lot of the time.
Yeah, and you have to remember that, you know, they're fighting crime in a future time. At the time, you know, like I say, this is the year 2000 via the 1980s. So
yeah,
it wasn't a massive stretch to think that actually, you know, and actually it isn't a massive leap when you think that essentially BP has just got prosthetics. It's just that his prosthetic is his entire fucking chest and torso. It's his whole torso, basically, right? But
yeah,
we're getting there. And certainly robot dogs, like, we're getting there as well. Like, so it's not massively far-fetched.
No, it's not. And I think that the one thing I really liked about this, actually, and again, you mentioned Batman, and a lot of people going on to do that. This had a very distinct rogues gallery, and it would have been very tempting just to go, we've got, you know, fucking Big Boss, and there'll be a caper every week. But actually, they've given an entire rogues gallery where you've got probably a dozen villains who keep on popping up, and not just one a week. It'd be a case of they'll all pop up for something in that episode. And yeah, I mean, just, again, it just gives you that sort of, it's that gang sort of mentality, that crew sort of mentality that actually, this is a thing. And they're making an effort here. It's not just, right, story of the week, and then we move on to the next thing. And I think if you look at, we talked about this with Street Sharks as well, whenever that was, that they kind of just kept on throwing new ones at it, going, well, this week we want to sell one that looks like a fucking stingray, and next week it's going to be a hammerhead shark, and the week after that it's going to be a turtle, because why the fuck not? And they don't do that, and I think that the temptation is always there, especially if you are looking at this as a toy vehicle. You want to promote as many as you can so you can make more fucking toys. See He-Man as an example. The more characters you have, and the more vehicles you have, the more toys you can sell.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that's what this was, They've avoided that temptation. They've kept their rose gallery and gone, right, okay, we've got eight villains or whatever it is. I think there's a comparable number to the cops. We've got that, so let's build on that. And across our 65 episodes, they'll all get half a dozen shows of their own.
Yeah.
And we work on that. And I thought that was a really nice touch. And you don't see that very often.
No, and that does, it does definitely give you buy-in with all of those characters. I think it helps that the teams are so massive to begin with. Like, there are fucking, there must be like 10 at least cops, and probably the same on the villains. So you've got that, like you mentioned, Mask, and it's the same thing. Like, you've got that large team to begin with, and not all of them are in every episode necessarily.
Yeah.
But you know who they are, and they're at least name checked because they get called out over the end credits then, like where they do the cops roll call, and he reels off who they all are.
And there might be a bit where they say, oh, if only Mainframe was here, because we need to hack this computer, because you know, it's the year 2000, everyone can be able to hack everything, because we know that's how it worked. But no, they would, as I said, they just name check them, refer to them, to remind people they're there. But actually, if you had a police squad, not police squad, but a squad of police officers, they wouldn't all be on the same case at the same time. They would be split off and doing different things. So it kind of tracks that way as well. So it just gives it that little bit more grounding. And I think that if they were superheroes, or they had these fucking flying cars or shot missiles out of the headlights and all this shit a la Mask, then yes, okay, you'd say we can have a smaller group because there's other things going for them as well. But we're saying, look, these are just people who are good at what they do, effectively.
Yeah.
They've got skills, but they're just good at what they fucking do. So let's not dwell on it too much and actually spend more time saying we need a bigger crew, because otherwise it's going to be completely fucking boring that every week it's Hard Top and Long Arm go out and catch the bad guys, and they do the same thing every week. And I think it just needed that bigger group to do it, because they're ordinary people. You kind of need that.
And I think what it does as well is it does allow for that variety in storytelling. But I think as a consumer as well, then, as a viewer, like as adults now, we see that as variety in the storytelling. But I think as kids, I think that's just so much more interesting as well. So when you're watching Street Sharks, we talked about, or even like to go for the, you know, let's go for the A grade here of those kind of team up fucking anthropomorphic animals things. Let's say Ninja Turtles, right? When you look, like, if you were going to go out and play Street Sharks or Ninja Turtles, right? You've all got your favorites. Somebody always wants to be Michelangelo. Somebody always wants to be Leonardo, right? And it's because Leonardo's the leader or Michelangelo's the funny one. So you always knew that was, and like, you'd want to be, like, your favorite one. But with this, I think there's just so much more buying because it's not just like, oh, I like him because he's the funny one. You know, you could be like, well, I want to be Mainframe because you might have a girl in the group. Or, like, I want to be Hardtop because he can do this. I want to be Longarm. I want to be BP. But it's not because of their defining characteristics. It's because of their skill set, because these are humans who are just really, really good at their jobs. So, it's not like they're fucking Superman and they're these unobtainable hero figures. It's actually like, oh, I like dogs. So, that could be me.
I could be a dog handling cop.
Yeah.
I could, no. Oh, I like cars. I can go off be a traffic cop. You know, stuff like
so
that.
So it plays, what I'm saying is it plays into the interests of every child. Hmm. So when you want to get a group together and you want to play cops, it's quite easy because you can all be like, oh, well, I'll drive the getaway car and stuff. And it's not just, you don't argue about who's going to be Leonardo because he's the leader or who's going to be Lionel because he's the leader. Like, you don't, because there's something for everybody. I think we've got to mention as well, I've skirted around it a few times, but we've talked about the voice work and we've talked about the villains and we've mentioned Big Boss several times. And I just, one of the most striking things about this show, as soon as he opened his mouth, is that it kind of really over the top, like Edward G. Carson, like, I love it.
I've got to be honest.
I love it, but I'm wondering if that was my first exposure to that voice. I think it might have been because as soon as I saw Big Boss in the credits, before he even opened his mouth, I was like, see?
Yeah, I knew exactly what he sounded like as soon as I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because I'd have been like 6 or something when this was on. Mm. I mean, even if you call it a year later in the UK than in the US, I'd have been probably like 7 or something like that. So yeah, that may well have been my first exposure to this. That's sort of cigar-chomping, over-the-top gangster voice.
And I mean, now we know that as like that's just Edward G. Robinson. That's stamped now. It's an impersonation, but it's an impersonation that everyone does, right?
Yeah.
So, but at the time, I wouldn't have known that. So that's how a gangster sounds, you know. And then moving through every other police procedural that has a gangster in it for the rest of my life, sooner or later, they're always like, see, boys, we're gonna get them nice and slow, see. It's like, that's just how that voice. And if you stop anyone in the street, ask him to do a gangster impersonation, you get one of two things, don't you? You either get that, or you get, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. That's all you get. That's gangster. It's one of those two things. Like, you know, or I don't know, maybe now you get a little bit about forget about it, but that's more generic New Yorker. But
yeah.
So as soon as he opened his mouth, that was a big nostalgia wave for me straight away.
Yeah.
And I think this probably was my first exposure to that. There's quite a lot of stereotypical voice work, to be fair. Like, I think we've criticized it in terms of the forms. But like I said, I don't think you can level out at the actors, because I think actually if you look at those characters and you hear the voice, the two go together perfectly in almost every instance. Like, if you were to show me a picture of Bulletproof and go, what does he sound like?
Yeah.
He would have the voice that he has, that kind of really deep, bass-heavy, like, booming voice. Like, that's clearly, like, those two go hand in hand. That's clearly what he's supposed to sound like. Same with Dr. Bad Vibes. He's got a generic mad scientist voice. You know, and it's like everybody involved absolutely understood their assignment, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that helps, I think. And then when you get some of these like really bad puns and like really overly expository dialogue, which again is just as was the style of the time, to get old Grandpa Simpson about it, they kind of get away with it for me because the actual the voice itself is so convincing for that character, if that makes sense. Like, that, yeah. That's absolutely how they should sound. You know, like, Bozo sounds exactly like a Bozo should sound. And it's...
Yeah.
It, that all works really well. But yeah.
I think Berserko's voice didn't really fit.
No, I guess not.
I think that's probably the only one that I really jumped out at me. It's not really fitting.
Mm.
I think they tried... to make him too much of a... too much of an idiot and not enough of a meathead, which didn't really fit with the character.
Yeah, maybe. But again, that's kind of what you expect at that kind of... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think his was the only one where I heard the voice went, oh, yeah, not sure about that.
I think it's just maybe...
Everybody else kind of fit.
Yeah, it's just maybe a little bit too nasal, I think, in places is what the issue is about. But again, I don't have a huge issue with it.
I don't have a huge issue. It was just the... As we were saying about the voice, I think that's the only one for me that didn't work. I thought the rest of them were spot on, but I think in terms of how they fit the character, but that one just didn't really... Didn't really twig. I don't know why.
Fair enough. I think that's fair enough. But yeah, in general, the performances themselves are god-awful. And probably, I would say, the worst thing about the show, from being like, yeah. The animation is dog shit. But again, it was a cheap animated show in the 80s, and it's not consistently dog shit. Some of it's all right. Certainly the direction as well. Like, the action scenes are handled really well. They just don't move very well. But in terms of what they've put in the frame and, you know, the way they actually construct the scene, the choreography, if you like, and the art direction, it's all actually very good. The action scenes are as good as anything else, I think, that was around at this time, if not better than some of it. And ultimately, that's what you want from this, right? It's called Cops.
Yeah.
You want it to be about a bunch of cops chasing down criminals and beating the fuck out of them. That's what you want.
Yeah.
So, and it's also surprisingly violent.
Yes.
Like, shockingly so.
I was impressed.
Yeah. So was I. Like, for a start, it's little things, but, like, there are on occasion lasers because it's in the future. But there's always a reason for it to be a laser because, in general, everybody's shooting fucking bullets at each other.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
No.
But again, they're cops. They're cops and they're gangsters. So it would... It makes perfect sense. It's just for most... Most kids shows, the decree is that, like, well, you don't actually...
Yeah, it's not real guns, it's not real swords, it's not real knives, because they're things that can actually hurt you.
You use stun rays and lasers, and you never actually hit someone with the blade of a sword. You'll hit them with the hilt, and...
Yeah. Or you hit them with the flat part rather than the edge.
Yeah. But it's like, they're full on, like, fucking... Like, nobody dies or anything, don't be wrong, but they're full on... No. I mean, well, saying that, Bulletproof gets blown up in the pilot episode.
Yeah.
And like, well, not technically blown up, but the vehicle he's in is blown up, and he gets crushed under a pile of rubble and goes into fucking intensive surgery and basically gets robocopped. Like...
Yeah.
It's pretty, like... And I know it's his origin.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah, I know it's his origin and stuff, so you know, you can't shy away from it too much, but, like, they show this. They show him lying there under a pile of fucking rubble. Like, you don't get that.
No.
You know.
Or if you do get that, in certainly in kids' shows, it's they're pinned under something, they're trapped under something, somebody comes along and helps, and between the two of them, they can push it off.
Mm.
And they might be a bit winded, they might be a bit stunned, they might be a bit hurt, but they get up.
Yeah.
And that's what you always had.
I mean, it does lead on to one of the most comical scenes I think I've ever seen in anything we've watched, though. Where he's then in the operating table and he comes around and the doctor explains to him in no uncertain terms that he's going to die unless he allows them to save his life by using this experimental cybernetic technology, and he'll be part machine and part human and this, that and the other. And then it takes him all of, like, he's a little bit put out at first, and it takes all of 2 seconds before he goes, "But then I'll be able to catch Big Boss." Do it, Doc.
Yeah, like, not I live longer.
No. It was like, Big Boss.
Not
is,
I might get to see my family again.
Big Boss is still out there. Make me a Big fucking Boss. Tin can. Like, just do it. But again, it's unfortunately that kind of... You mentioned that first episode where they put all of that work in with the Fear of Heights and stuff. And it's like they almost dialed into something there. They almost got a little bit Robocop there for a minute. And then they were like...
Yeah.
No, but actually, we just need to get back to the action. So he just...
Because not only that, kids will be able to identify with being afraid of heights.
Mm.
They won't be able to identify with being fucking Robocop.
No.
And most of them won't have seen... No. I'll rephrase that. Some of them won't have seen RoboCop.
Well, saying that, I mean, this was pretty hot on the heels of RoboCop if this was 88, 89, because RoboCop was, what, 87, I want to say?
86, 87, yeah. I want to say it was made in 86.
I want to say it was 87. But this does have, I mean, speaking of RoboCop, as we have a few times now when you mentioned Mask as well, I think part of the reason I enjoy this so much, despite its flaws, is the vibe that it has, because it definitely has that 80s... like high level B movie action film.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of
very much.
Not gonna, like, if it was being made, it wouldn't star like Arnie or Stallone or anybody like that. But
it'd be fucking Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a Brian Dennehy or a Steven Seagal or something like that. And it's got that real kind of, he's like the type of shit you'd watch with your dad when your mum was out. Do you know what I mean? Where he was just like,
That shit you probably shouldn't be watching. It's slightly too old for you, but I'm watching her anyway. So if you stay in, sit down and shut up.
Exactly that. Not that he wants to watch it with you. He's like, I've rented this. Your mother's out.
I'm going
to
watch it.
I've rented this. I'm going to watch it. And you're going to sit there and watch it with me and be quiet. Secretly, you're loving it, both of you. That is very much what it feels like. And I think that taps the nostalgia vein hugely for me as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And like I said, it's, a part of that is that it's so... I mean, it sounds ludicrous to say when you actually look at the show, but compared to its contemporaries, it's so fucking graphic. Like, it really is. Like, they don't shy away from the action at all. They're all fucking chasing round after each other and shooting guns and punching people and, like, full-on fights. The fights are quite interesting as well, because I think probably, again, to save money on the animation, not every time, but a lot of the time, the fights just go to a series of stills. They almost go like Batman 66. And it kind of works.
It does. I only noticed it in one episode, as I go, because I was working as well, so I wasn't sort of wholly paying attention to it all the time. But yeah, when I spotted it, I was looking at it thinking, I don't mind that.
No.
Because it just gives you that little bit where you can see what's going on, but actually you get to use a bit of your imagination as well. You get to put your own spin on it, and I think that helps sometimes.
It does, and it's very clever when you think about it, because it does two things, right? It avoids you having to animate those scenes and them subsequently looking like shit because you don't have the money to animate on singles and make them as fluid as you'd like.
Yeah.
And it also avoids the censor's scissors because you never
there's
actually...
There's nothing to cut out.
Yeah, you don't see the punch connect. You just see the immediate before and the aftermath.
Yeah, it's like looking at it in a comic book.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it kind of works with what the show is, because it gives it that kind of Pulp Fiction-y sort of, not the movie, the actual thing. Media genre. It gives it that Pulp Fiction-y kind of feel.
And again, that ties into like the opening and the closing as well. You've got the voiceover and introducing the case file and stuff like that. That was amazing. I loved that.
The whole
sort of neo-noir feel to it was brilliant. You're right. It all feeds into that sort of, that very sort of, that very Pulp Fiction, very comic book, very sort of graphic, but not aesthetic. Actually, the more I think about this, the cleverer I think. I mean, don't get me wrong, this show's not overly clever because it's there to sell toys. But actually, they've gone into this and gone, you know what? We can make something out of this, which is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think clever is the right word. And I think that everybody involved is actually probably quite into this and having a blast. Yeah. That's certainly what it feels like. But ultimately, they are cashing a paycheck because they have to, right? Because they're jobbing. They've been brought on to do a job. Nobody involved created this. It's not like this is a creator-owned and run show. It's like, we need to put this show together to sell our fucking toys. So do the best job possible. They have, I think, they've worked with what they've got and they've found the clever ways around it. And what we're left with, the things that we can criticize, which ultimately are quite bad, unfortunately, are just the things that are unavoidable because they just didn't have money. You know, like if you're having to record single takes in a dialogue booth, your audio's always going to sound kind of shitty. That's why we don't really do it anymore as a production technique, because it's just crap, to be honest. Yeah. um but it, it but it was the style at the time. So at the time, you wouldn't have noticed that. It's just that now no. we notice it looking back because we're so used to hearing more professionally recorded dialogue. And especially because, you know, some 5 or 6 years later, we would start to make that transition gradually as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was happening around this time. This would have been around the time The Simpsons first aired as well, actually.
Slightly just before, I think.
Yeah, so just before.
It would be on Tracey Ullman at this point, so it would have been fairly crappy. But it, so you're talking, probably talking 18 months before it appeared on Fox.
Yeah, but you know, Simpsons really was pioneering that technique before most other shows. So
yeah,
this is on the cusp of that, unfortunately, and that lets it down a little bit. The same with, we say the animation's crappy, but it's Deke. This is, why would we expect anything else? And that's not a dig at them. I love Deke as a company. I love
it. You only have to go through the history of this show to see how many fucking Deke shows we've done.
We started running them off at one point, didn't we? I think it was when we were doing Teddy Ruxpin, I think. And we were just like, what are the Deke shows? And we started running them off. And
we added how many we hadn't fucking talked about yet.
And we added, I think that's how we added this to the list. Because I think we
I think it was, actually.
Like, oh, Cops. Yeah, let's do that one. But that's just what they like. They were being churned out. But as we mentioned at the time, they were hit and miss. The hits were tended to be really good. The misses tend to be fucking god awful. This one is caught somewhere in the kind of the upper regions of the bad stuff, I guess. Or the lower regions of the good stuff. I mean, this is one of the rare that straddles both camps.
Yeah, it's not one of those so bad it needs to just fuck off and die. But it's nowhere near the good stuff either.
No, but it is.
It's in that, you're right. It's in that weird sort of limbo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a show that, having watched, the few that I've watched for this show, and I have watched more of this than I have a lot of things that we've watched recently, despite the fact that my roof is caving in around me. It was entertaining, so I watched it whenever I could. And I don't know that I'm going to watch all 60 episodes, but it's certainly something where if I've got 20 minutes to kill, I might be like, I'd probably stick an episode of Cops on. It's pretty fucking entertaining for what it is.
It is.
And especially like when you compare it to things like Mask, as you say, and it's got that vibe. And I was never really a Mask guy, right?
No, me either.
And this comes back again to the variety in this and to the vibe of it, right? Because anything with a secret government organization or a military unit or anything like that has just never, ever been my bag. It just...
Yeah.
Hasn't. I mean, like the whole jingoistic military stuff and whatever, it's just never been my bag. It's not that I won't watch it just doesn't really grab me.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Cops and Robbers and Detectives and Noir and Noir.
It's fucking Universal, doesn't it? No, and
it's Universal, it was, as we said, I was watching this stuff with my dad anyway. So this is that's kind of just ingrained in me. So I will always gravitate towards something that tells me a story about street cops as opposed to something that's going to tell me about some crack commando unit or Navy SEALs. I'll go with beat cops every time. And that's essentially what these guys are. They're just really, really fucking good beat cops who form. They're not even like, it does say they're an elite organization, but it's not like they're the CIA or anything like that. They're not like this secret covert government. They're a bunch of fucking cops. That's all they are.
They've just got, to coin a phrase, a particular set of skills.
Yes, exactly. They've been cherry-picked to form the central organization of police specialists.
Yeah. There's your clue right there. Police specialists.
Yeah. That's all they are. So that just kind of, I think that helps for me as well. And
definitely.
It's not, like I say, it's not that I won't watch that other stuff. I love a Men on a Mission movie, for instance.
Yeah.
But I'll just always prefer it if they're street level. There's just something about that I prefer. So,
it's more relatable, isn't it?
It is.
You don't have to suspend so much disbelief, because if you've got a team of commandos who are going after a nuclear fucking weapon, how often does that happen and that you're going to experience? Whereas in reality, if you've got a fucking serial killer in a city that could be your city and you've got your average cops looking for them, yes, okay, it's still far-fetched. Yes, it's still entertainment, but it's something that could fucking happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's not like, you know, we're going to get a guy with a fucking glass dome over his brain show up and drive a blimp around town anytime soon. But,
yeah,
you know, if he does, then...
But you might get somebody using a circus to launder money.
Completely.
No, which completely. Was episode two, I think. But, yeah, so, you know, it's like, well, yeah, and I think that says a lot about it, because I think that's what held me with it as well, is the fact that it wasn't this fantastical... major fucking, you know, superpowered crack team of experts who couldn't know everything went right every time, and just once they knew what the crime was, they could solve it. They could stop it. It was actually they got to work shit out, and sometimes things go wrong, and they've then got to go and put them right because shit like that happens.
There was you mentioned like the using the circus to loan the money. You're like, yeah, that's possible. There was also that I don't know if you saw the episode with the midget crime gang, posing as babies. And hiding out in an orphanage.
That is awesome.
Except they're all like smoking cigars and wearing pork pie hats and little suits and stuff.
Fucking Baby Herman.
Yeah, totally. That's what it reminded me of, Baby Herman. But they're like, it sounds far-fetched, but then you think about like, is that story, and I think it's since been proved it's not true. It was just radicalized in the press. Yeah. There's that story, I think it was in Brazil, where that girl moved into someone's house and they were trying to say she was a 40-year-old woman and stuff that looked like a little girl. Yeah. And it's like, it's not massively far-fetched. Like, yes, yeah, the pork pie hats and the cigars are a bit like, why isn't Mary Poppins kicking them out on their ass? But the idea...
But again, the idea is fine. And yeah, there was just something about that I really liked. And as well, I mean, talking about the way the writing comes together and some of the things we liked, the humour in it, it's so fucking stupid, but again, it just sits on that level. I think one of the ones I watched, Berserko, I think he wants to pull off a heist to get Big Boss a birthday present. So, and again, the completely far-fetched, he breaks into, they go into a joke shop or a costume shop, buy a shitload of masks, go outside, put the masks on, and then go and rob the place. So the guy's just sold you the masks and you're wearing the same fucking clothes. So clearly he knows who you are.
Yeah.
And they make such a big thing about, yeah, they were just in here and then they came back and robbed me. And that, again, that level of humor, it's so fucking stupid. You think, actually, I can get on board with that. That's fun. It's not taking itself seriously at all. But then from that, then when they go in and rob the place, they steal the world's largest balloon. And it's this balloon is like three fucking city blocks wide, and they use it to try and steal the Brooklyn Bridge, or not the Brooklyn Bridge as maybe. But.
Yeah.
So and you go from the sublime to the ridiculous, and it was just really enjoyable.
I think you have to tune into it is the thing, right?
Yeah.
And we said this with Speed Racer as well. And I know there's a lot of hate for that show, and we actually quite enjoyed it. But it's the same thing. I think if you're of a very particular age and social standing, this will resonate with you. It's simple as that, right? If you were a kid in the late 80s, early 90s, and you know you were growing up in a lower middle class or upper working class family, so you had a TV with fucking, you could sit down and rent videos and stuff like that and get entrenched in all of this kind of culture, then I think this will speak to you. Otherwise, you would just look at this and go, that's trash. But I think...
Yeah, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, but I think if you were brought up in that environment, like I say, it's renting the video or putting it on Sky or whatever, you know, while everyone's out and just you and your dad watching those action films, I think that resonates. It certainly resonated for me, and I think it sounds like it did with you as well. And I think, well, I know from doing this show, there are lots of other people out there that this will resonate with. So I think what I'm saying is it has a niche. Like we can definitely acknowledge that it's nowhere near the best thing we've looked at, and the production quality is pretty awful. But everyone involved has done the best with what they've got, and it definitely ticks those boxes. Like I say, everybody fully understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Like make a fucking, let's be honest, a 15 rated action movie. That's what this is gearing for, isn't it? Not an 18. It's gearing for like that 15 margin.
Yeah.
Where it's like the kids shouldn't be watching it, but they can.
But they got it.
It'll be all right. There'll be a couple of Fs in it here and there, and maybe someone will get shot. Yeah. But it's all right. You can watch it. Like, do that, but make it a kids show. And that's what they've done. And actually make it so that we can sell these toys. And there are, I almost forgot you talking about the sublime to the ridiculous. the plot contrivances as well that come into it are straight out of those movies as well. You know, where it's like, hang on, shit, the story needs this to happen for us to move from A to B. What can we do? And there's just a ridiculous plot contrivance. One of my absolute favorites is in, I think, what is technically the second episode, but they're not in order, right? They weren't aired in order. It's classic, again, for a show of this period. Yeah. Like, the pilot was actually aired towards the middle of the run, inexplicably. But there's a point in what would be episode 2, narratively speaking, so the second part of the opener, where Bulletproof has got his new body and stuff, and he's all ready to go. And they're all on an airship that's carrying a building, and they need to land it, but the controls they're all locked out of the controls, so they don't know what to do. And BP's just like, "It's fine, I'm part machine." And he shoots wires out of his arm.
Yes.
And links to it. And starts talking to the machine to hack the code. And I'm like,
"Yeah,
you thought about that for all of 2 seconds, you motherfuckers." Yeah.
It's like, "We don't know how to fix this. Hang on."
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cyborg. Fuck it, it's fine.
Because that is definitely not how it's sold in part one. It's just like, you know, you've got this torso, which is like, yeah, you're going to be like cybernetic and stuff, but it's like a prosthetic. It's basically just, it's going to serve as
your torso. Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like all of a sudden you can shoot fucking bullets out of your arm or anything like that.
Yeah. I think there was somebody else as well. I think it was in the Bugman episode. There's one of the villains, I can't remember who it is, but he's basically got guns for nipples.
Nice. I haven't seen that one.
So
a fucking Austin Powers fembot, but
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So he opens his jacket like a flasher, and his nipples of when they're holstered, they're upright, and then they come down, so they're basically sticking out like 4 inches each, and he just fires bullets out of his chest. The problem is he can't fucking aim.
Well, no, because
but they make a point of this, is that he shoots and he's fucking miles away. So everyone's cowering behind a sofa, and he's just shooting like miles above the sofa where nobody was
it's
anyway.
It's like the least practical place to have guns ever, because wherever you're looking, you're going to be shooting a couple of inches below that, and you're going to have a great big gap in the middle. So you've got a fucking stupid idea. Yeah. I love it.
And again, that's the ridiculous side of it.
Yeah.
But then, no. Yeah, I don't.
It's great. It's great. It's awful. It really is very bad quality, but it's great. It's entertaining. Yeah. We haven't really talked about the music, which we need to, because it's phenomenal. Unsurprisingly, being as though this was Deke, it's Shuki Levy and Haim Saban. So, yeah. I mean, it's unsurprising that it's top draw either. And it sounds like every other Shuki Levy score you've ever heard for an action cartoon. Like,
completely.
They all sound exactly the same, but they're great. It's just, and you know, it's, again, one piece of score, no matter what the episode. When there's an action scene, it's the same music every time.
Yeah,
it's that dun dun.
But it's fine.
But you know it. You get to know it, and it gets you.
I was going to say it's how kids learn, isn't it? It's that call and response again. You know when that kicks in, there's a fucking
shit's
action
going
sequence
down.
Going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it gets your blood pumping.
And I mean, you know, talking of Simon Levy, fucking Power Rangers did it to great effect, and they still do.
Yeah, totally.
No, when the fight sequence kicks in, it's the same thing every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is exactly the same. Credits, like I said, opening and closing, same every episode. They're great. I love pre-roll. I've mentioned it many, many times in the show, and this has just got to be one of the best. Like you say, done in that kind of noir style with Bulletproof just reading over who they are and what they're going to do and telling you this is the case of whatever. And then at the end, the cops roll call, it's like I might have to put the whole thing on the end of this episode because I don't know how I'm going to edit it out, because there's no clean music really in the end. He's just doing the roll call of all the cops, but it's every episode, and again, that's kind of cool, you know, just doing that rundown. I love it because he's, especially if, I guess at the time, if you were collecting the action figures, you'd be like, got that one,
got it, need it.
They're not dumb. The catchphrases are awful. It's crime fighting time is one of the worst catchphrases I think I've ever heard.
Crimes are wasting.
God, crimes are wasting is even worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fine. They need a catchphrase. It's an 80s action. Yeah. Team. Of course, they need a catchphrase.
Again,
it's no book.
Again,
Dano,
it's a signifier,
it?
Though, isn't it? Because you know, once they do that, you know something's going to happen.
Yeah, totally.
You, they're going into a particular type of sequence then. So, you pick it up.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah. I think what I'm getting here, to be honest, is it's bad, but there's a lot of forgiveness.
Yes.
I think there's a lot where, on other shows, where, yeah, that's shit, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. But I think because I think this knows what it is, and there's a particular charm to that. And it's not going out of its way to be sensational. It's not going out of its way to be incredibly sophisticated and clever. It's just saying, look, it's a show about cops, and they need to catch the bad guys every week because that's how these shows work. It's the 80s, and we have to show the crime doesn't pay. Mm-hmm. No, Gordon Gekko's not a thing yet. So from that perspective, it's fine. You take it where it comes from. You think, actually, yeah, it's trite as all hell. It doesn't look great, and some of the performances aren't that special, but it ticks all the boxes. It's that, I said the same with Speed Racer, I said the same with Street Sharks. It ticks every fucking 80s action cartoon box. And that's all I want it for.
Totally. And that is a big part of our metric on this show, right? There are much better shows than this that we have really critically appraised. And we've done 2 hours plus on some shows, Gargoyles, Batman, where we've pulled them apart and we've got in the inner workings of the show. And they warrant that.
Yeah.
And there are shows like this where ultimately it just comes down to, is it a fucking good time, right? Because
did I enjoy watching it?
Because that's how this show started. It was all about the nostalgia of us going back and watching these shows. And that's why I never used to do the research, because I was like, no, it's more important. The most important thing is how the show makes me feel. That's the most important thing when we're rewatching it. And that's the most important thing. By the metric of we're judging these shows is, you know, does it give us that nostalgia hit? Some stuff does, some stuff doesn't. And maybe that leads us to sometimes judge things unfairly. You know, we've had a lot of flack for some shows, Raggy Dolls, for instance. We came down hard on Biker Mice from Mars. I came down particularly hard on Rugrats. You know, so sometimes that goes against the show. And sometimes like this, it just elevates it. And that's personal preference. Now, listeners, you may be able to thinking, what the hell is Chris talking about? Cops is fucking garbage. And I support that. I wouldn't turn around and try to argue with you. It is definitely garbage. But there's a time and a place for garbage. And, you know, this week I've kind of wanted that. And it has worked. And I've enjoyed it. I certainly wanted it as a fucking 8-9-year-old kid as well. So
yeah, exactly.
Fine. What I'm saying is I revisited this and refound Cops at probably the right time in my life. If we'd have watched this again in 10 years time, or maybe 10 years ago, maybe we'd be having a different conversation. But right now I'm well up for this.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same. And I think it's the sort of thing, and again, it's what you talk about when you have these sort of action B movies. It's just a bit of escapism.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on, not think too hard about it. There's an easy enough story to follow, and you just kind of go, yeah, fine, I can deal with that. You haven't got to overthink it, and I think that certainly with our background, when you look at sort of, you know, a lot of, sort of the film theory work we've done, and a lot of the academic stuff we've done, the temptation is to rip things like this apart.
Yes.
And sometimes, as you said, sometimes you just want to sit down and watch it. And I think that, I mean, certainly I found that when I did my BA, that you spend so much time critically appraising stuff and dissecting stuff, and be that books or TV or movies, you forget why it is you wanted to study them in the first place. It's because you fucking enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to lose that by the time you start critiquing them and appraising them and all the rest of it. You lose that sort of joy for it. And sometimes you just want, you know what, fuck it. I want to put on fucking Rugrats.
Yeah.
Or Cops or whatever, because I know I'm going to think about it and I'm going to enjoy it. And that's what it's for at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's important. It's the most important thing to remember. And that's, again, that was kind of the genesis of this show, right? Because that love that we have for storytelling, and particularly for visual mediums and storytelling within visual mediums, came from somewhere. And, you know, the earliest logical place it can come from is children's shows. And that's where the idea for this show started. Let's have a look at what's in these shows, what kind of sparked this interest. in us. And, you know, and sometimes there's cultural value in that. Sometimes we can look at things, you know, and I've said several times now, you know, I can see some of my political ideology in this, or I can see some of, you know, there's greater things at work. And then other times it's literally just like, you know, I really like trashy action movies, and like, this is probably why, or part of the reason why this would have feeded into that, you know, or fed into that. Feeded. Jesus Christ, it's rotting my brain already. but you know, that's fine, right? You can you can be educated in film and media, and you can write intelligent theses on these things, and then you can still watch Cops. And you can still watch a Jason Statham movie. It's absolutely fine to enjoy them as long as you acknowledge that they're shit. And you can't not acknowledge that they're shit because you have that knowledge. Like, that's in there. You know how the sausage is made. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, does it?
Exactly.
So I enjoyed the hell out of it. I really did. I really, really enjoyed rewatching this. And I'm glad we have. And I think it's also one of those shows, you know, just picking back up on that thread. Yes, it's bad, but I think it's so stylistically perfect. Like I said, everybody understood the assignment, and I think it ticks all the boxes so well that it's a show that if you stop people on the street and you ask them, do you remember Cops? I think you only get two reactions. You only get, no, what the fuck is Cops? Or possibly, you know, them confusing it with Bad Boys, right?
Yeah.
Or you get, oh man, yeah, I fucking loved Cops. I don't think you get the middle ground ever. I think you get people...
Yeah, you're never going to get, oh yeah, that was alright.
Yeah, I don't think you will. Which I think you can get, certainly with a Mask. Or even a Transformers for some people, you know. I don't think they're universally loved or loathed in the way that I think this would be. You know, I think they're good enough that they can be a middle ground and people can go, oh yeah, I really liked that as a kid. I don't think you get that with this. I think you either get, oh yeah, I fucking loved Cops, or you get, no, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I don't think you ever get, no, that was absolute shit, I hated it. I don't think you ever get that, because I don't think you would have watched it if you hated it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely,
you'd have seen Alpha One and gone, no, fuck it.
It's absolutely clear from the opening sequence what this show is. It sets its stall out and it delivers on every fucking part of what it sets out to do.
Yeah.
It just is put together really badly, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's the shame of it. But I think, I think it's, you're right, I think it's one of those things, if you didn't like it, you just wouldn't watch it. Mm. I mean, it's very much a Ron Seal title. It's it's police specialists.
Yeah.
So you know what you're getting straight away.
Yeah. Central Organization of Police Specialists.
Yeah. Cops. Watch it or don't. Yeah. And that's going to be it.
Yeah.
So yeah. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I vaguely remembered it. I remembered some of the vehicles more than the people. Mm. But yeah, so I remembered bits of it. And then when I sort of started watching it, I was like, oh, right, okay, it's this. And then gradually, I mean, I think I've watched the first five episodes, I think I said. And I'm not going to go out of my way to watch any more because I've got other shit to do. But I'm never going to say, I'll never watch that again. It's fucking awful. If it comes a point where I'm going, you know what? Yeah. I've got a half hour. I don't want to know anything too heavy. Or I don't want to start anything new because I've got other stuff to get onto. I'm not going to turn this off and say, oh yeah, I'm not going to watch that fucking bollocks.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm not, no way am I sitting down and watching all 60 episodes or anything like that. Yeah, I can see me watching more in the future. I definitely can, with 20 minutes spare or whatever. And it's like it's in my playlist now because I've watched so many of them.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's just like, if it comes on, if it randomly cycles around to Cops as well, I'll be like, yeah, all right, sit down and watch this. Fine.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I had a good time with this. So, you know, if you dislike it, fine. Like I said, I'm not going to argue. But I don't reckon there is anybody out there that really strongly dislikes this.
I think if anybody sat down and watched it, it's going to be because they've enjoyed it.
I think so.
I don't think any... I think it's one of those as well. I mean, it's bland enough that if you're not enjoying it, you'll just turn it off.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And I think that's probably... No, that'll be where you divide it. People have either gone, yeah, okay, I watched it and I enjoyed it. Or I went, I didn't want... It was shit, I turned it off. And that's going to be it. There's not going to be anybody sitting on the fence. There's not going to be any middle ground anywhere.
No, definitely not.
That said, speaking for the listeners never normally works. Better let them tell us themselves. So, I mean, if people do remember the show, or if people have been playing along at home, and people have gone back and watched it, let us know what you think, because I'd be really interested to see how close to or far off the mark we are with this. So, yeah, I mean, by all means, get in touch, usual channels, and we can talk about it. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I think that if you've sat down and watched through it, or you've listened to us for the last hour, then you must have too. But let us know on Twitter at SMPDpod, or go to our website, ddpodcast.net, where you can also pick up our previous episodes and other shows. Wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe, leave a message, we'll get back to you as we can. Until next time.
See you later.
Cops, roll call, highway, mainframe, long arm, Bowser and Blitz, Sundown, Hardtop, Mirage, Bullseye, Mace, Barricade, and they call me Bulletproof. These are Empire City's most wanted crooks. Berserko, Rock Crusher, Misdemeanor, Turbo Two-Tone, Dr. Bad Vibes, Nightshade. Use caution in apprehending.